I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is November 21st, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic. This story is about a flyer distributed on the campus of Texas A&M by the student group called the Aggie Conservatives, and it references Islam's treatment of women. The flyer begins, "Islam, oppression of women." And next they have a quote from Muhammad as quoted by Salman Bukhari from Volume 1, Book 2, Number 28, that says, "I was shown the hell fire and that the majority of its dwellers were women." Next, the flyer shows a picture of Islamic women in burqas, followed by this caption. This is a quote again from Muhammad, this time from Sunan Abu Dawood, from Book 32, Number 4092. "When a woman reaches the age of menstruation, it does not suit her that she displays her parts of body except this and this." And he pointed to her face and hands. The next section of the flyer is where they proudly identify themselves. Learn more at www.aggieconservatives.org/Islam. The Texas Aggie Conservatives at www.aggieconservatives.org or www.facebook.com/AggieConservatives. Or you can email them at AggieConservatives@gmail.com. And the next line states, "The Texas Aggie Conservatives, a recognized student organization of Texas A&M University." The flyer then continues, "Unlike many of the religions you are familiar with, Islam is a political and military system. It is not just a religion." My reply, "Well, there is one religion that I am very familiar with, having been raised in that faith, Christianity. Since polls have proven that it is nearly impossible to get elected in America unless you identify as a Christian, then it would appear that Christianity is also a political system. And if a Christian should attempt to dispute that fact, then it should be pointed out to them that they themselves refer to America as a Christian nation. So by their own words, Christianity is a political system. As for the military, Christian domination and proselytization is so bad in the American military that an organization has been formed to protect Americans who are being harassed by Christians, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. This foundation receives thousands of complaints. One can only wonder how many are afraid to complain. And let's not even go into the Crusades. So it appears that Christianity is also a military system. So earlier when you said, unlike many of the religions you are familiar with, you must have been referring to the non-Abrahamic religions. Now the pamphlet gives a bulleted list of anti-Islamic statements. The first bullet. The Quran teaches that men have authority over women because God has made the one superior to the other. From Surah 4:34. Allow me to interrupt with some kryptonite. From 1 Corinthians 11:3 in the Christian Bible. "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man." From 1 Corinthians 11:7 through 9. "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is in the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." From 1 Peter 3:1. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Ephesians 5:22 through 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So, repeating the bullet, it said, the Quran teaches that men have authority over women because God has made the one superior to the other. Well, Aggie dudes, it looks like your own Bible teaches exactly the same thing. The next bullet. Islam allows men to marry four wives and have sex with slave girls. Taken from Surah 4:3. Neo here again. I just happen to have a Bible next to me, and guess what I just found? 1 Kings 11:3. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. That verse refers to King Solomon. Gee, Islam seems almost prudish compared to the heroes you worship. The next bullet. When a woman reaches the age of menstruation, it does not suit her that she displays her body parts except this and this. And he pointed to her face and hands. That was a quote from Muhammad referenced earlier. I would agree with Muhammad in the case of really fat chicks. Next bullet. Muhammad says a woman is worth half a man's testimony because of the deficiency of a woman's mind. Quoted from Salim Bukhari, Volume 1, Book 48, Number 826. Neo here again. Since I still had that Bible open, I thought I would thumb through it. And look what I found in Leviticus. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old, even unto 60 years old, even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old, even unto 20 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. And if it be from a month old, even unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if it be from 60 years old and above, if it be a male, then thy estimation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. Well, Aggies, I now see your point. Islam is much harsher on women than Christianity. God starts out with a value of 50% for women, but as they grow older, they increase in value, going first to 60%, and then finally all the way to 67%. That Allah sure is dumb. He can't even see that a woman who has reached the age of giving head is far more valuable than one who hasn't. And an experienced head giver, over 60, is a true asset. Next bullet. Honor killings are carried out on women by men who assume that their wives, daughters, or sisters behave in a way which damages a man's honor. This from Amnesty International. Well, I'm okay with that one. Last month, my sister told everyone on Facebook that I used to masturbate, which isn't true. Autoeroticism performed with surgical gloves is not necessarily masturbation. And I just wanted a killer. A man should not be dishonored by a mere woman. And both God and Allah both back me on that one. Now I just have to check with Brahma and I'll have all my bases covered. The next bullet. Over 90% of married women report being kicked, slapped, beaten, or sexually abused when husbands were dissatisfied by their cooking or cleaning, or when the women had failed to bear a child or had given birth to a girl instead of a boy. This from the Pakistan Institute of Medical Sciences. My question, of the 10% who didn't, were they bigger than their men, or were they just meaner? Because I know women who, if you tried that bullshit with them, would rip your gonads from your crotch and feed them to you. And the final bullet. Female genital mutilation is common in Iraq. My comment. And male genital mutilation is common throughout the Judeo-Christian world. Next, the pamphlet shows a picture of an Islamic woman being buried up to her waist in preparation for being stoned to death. My comment. Interesting you should bring that up, because they didn't get that idea from the Quran, because stoning is nowhere to be found in it. So where did they get that idea from? That's right, Aggies. Your Bible. Deuteronomy 22:24. If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out into the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not. Well, Aggies, there are hundreds more verses in the Bible where God orders people to stone other humans to death for minor rule infractions. But then, I'm sure I don't have to remind you of that fact, since you read your Bibles every day, and you can hardly turn a page without reading about someone being stoned to death or brutally murdered, usually by God. For those of you listening to this podcast, if you go to the Associated Word document on the archives page of theskepticarena.com, you can download that document and see the picture that I'm going to refer to. Aggie Conservatives, open a dictionary to the word H-Y-P-O-C-R-I-T-E, hypocrite. You should see the following definition. And that definition will appear in the Word document. Referring to that picture, my final comment, gee, what a surprise. A bunch of white guys howling with delight, probably over some story about beating up on gay people. This picture was taken from your own homepage. I don't see one black or Asian or Hispanic, Mexican, but I do see one woman. She must be the dessert for after the lecture. Although people like you turn my stomach quicker than the smell of fresh dog crap, I'm not going to insult you myself. Why go to all that trouble when I can have Jesus do it for me? From Matthew 7, verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. I couldn't have said it any better myself. Thank you, Jesus. And now for the science segment. Scientists say antimatter atoms have been trapped for the first time. Researchers at CERN, home of the Large Hadron Collider, have held 38 antihydrogen atoms in place, each for a fraction of a second. Antihydrogen has been produced before, but it was instantly destroyed when it encountered normal matter. The team, reporting in Nature, says the ability to study such antimatter atoms will allow previously impossible tests of fundamental tenets of physics. The current standard model of physics holds that each particle, protons, electrons, neutrons, and a zoo of more exotic particles, has its mirror image antiparticle. The antiparticle of the electron, for example, is the positron, and is used in an imaging technique of growing popularity known as positron emission tomography. However, one of the great mysteries in physics is why our world is made up overwhelmingly of matter rather than antimatter. The laws of physics make no distinction between the two, and equal amounts should have been created at the universe's birth. Producing antimatter particles like positrons and antiprotons has become commonplace in the laboratory, but assembling the particles into antimatter atoms is far more tricky. That was first accomplished by two groups in 2002, but handling the antihydrogen-bound atoms made up of an antiproton and a positron is trickier still because it must not come into contact with anything else, While trapping of charged normal atoms can be done with electric or magnetic fields, trapping antihydrogen atoms in this hands-off way requires a very particular type of field. Jeff Hengst of Aarhus University in Denmark explained, "Atoms are neutral. They have no net charge, but they have a little magnetic character. You can think of them as small compass needles, so they can be deflected using magnetic fields. We build a strong magnetic bottle around where we produce the antihydrogen, and if they are not moving too quickly, they are trapped. Such sculpted magnetic fields that make up the magnetic bottle are not particularly strong, so the trick was to make antihydrogen atoms that didn't have much energy. That is, they were slow moving. The team proved that among their 10 million antiprotons and 700 million positrons, 38 stable atoms of antihydrogen were formed, lasting about 0.2 seconds each. Next, the task is to produce more of the atoms, lasting longer in the trap, in order to study them more closely." Professor Hengst said, "What we'd like to do is see if there's some difference that we don't understand yet between matter and antimatter. That difference may be more fundamental. That may have to do with very high energy things that happened at the beginning of the universe. That's why holding on to them is so important. We need time to study them." Gerald Gabrielis of Harvard University led one of the groups that in 2002 first produced antihydrogen and first proposed that the magnetic bottle approach was the way to trap the atoms. He said, "I'm delighted that it worked as we said it should. We have a long way to go yet. These are atoms that don't live long enough to do anything with them. So we need a lot more atoms and a lot longer times before it's really useful. But one has to crawl before you sprint." Professor Gabrielis's group is taking a different tack to prepare more of the antihydrogen atoms, but said that progress in the field is exciting. He said it shows that the dream from many years ago is not completely crazy. And now the arena goes abroad. Today we travel to Africa, where support for female circumcision is declining. Some experts thought it was so embedded in traditional culture that it would never change, but new evidence shows that African countries have made surprising progress in reducing the rate of female genital cutting, a controversial and often illegal practice that can cause lifelong injury and illness to girls and women. The procedure is a rite of passage for young girls in many ethnic groups in Africa and some parts of Asia and the Middle East. Millions of girls are cut or mutilated in Africa every year. In total, an estimated 70 to 140 million girls and women worldwide have endured genital cutting. My comment: at last, a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. And for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Thomas H. Huxley, born 1825, died 1895 at the age of 70. Huxley was an English biologist known as Darwin's Bulldog for his advocacy of Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. Huxley's famous 1860 debate with Samuel Wilberforce was a key moment in the wider acceptance of evolution and in his own career. Wilberforce was coached by Richard Owen, against whom Huxley also debated whether humans were closely related to apes. Huxley was instrumental in developing scientific education in Britain and fought against the more extreme versions of religious tradition. Huxley used the term agnostic to describe his own views on theology, a term whose use has continued to the present day. Huxley had little formal schooling and taught himself almost everything he knew. Remarkably, he became perhaps the finest comparative anatomist of the latter 19th century. He worked on invertebrates, clarifying relationships between groups previously little understood. Later, he worked on vertebrates, especially on the relationship between apes and humans. After comparing Archaeopteryx with Compsognathus, he concluded that birds evolved from small carnivorous dinosaurs, a theory widely accepted today. The tendency has been for this fine anatomical work to be overshadowed by his energetic and controversial activity in favor of evolution, and by his extensive public work on scientific education, both of which had significant effects on society in Britain and elsewhere. And now for the two quotes from Thomas Huxley. The first, "The foundation of morality is to give up pretending to believe that for which there is no evidence, and repeating unintelligible propositions about things beyond the possibilities of knowledge." And final quote from Thomas Huxley, "The deepest sin against the human mind is to believe things without evidence."
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.